His right shoulder was badly bruised and swollen, but his leg seemed to be all right. Both kids could walk, that was the important thing. Grant himself was all right, except for a claw abrasion down his right chest where the Tyrannosaur had kicked him. It burned with every breath, but it didn't seem to be serious, and it didn't limit his movement. He wondered if he had been knocked unconscious, because he had only dim recollections of events immediately preceding the moment he had sat up, groaning, in the woods, 10 yards from the Land Cruiser. At first his chest had been bleeding, so he had stuck leaves on the wound, and after a while it clotted. Then he had started walking around, looking for Malcolm and the kids. Grant couldn't believe he was still alive, and as scattered images began to come back to him, he tried to make sense of them. The Tyrannosaur should have killed them all, easily. Why hadn't it?
I'm hungry,
Lex said. Me too, Grant said. We've got to get ourselves back to civilization, and we've got to tell them about the ship.
We're the only ones who know, Tim said.
Yes, we've got to get back and tell them.
Then let's walk down the road toward the hotel, Tim said, pointing down the hill. That way we'll meet them when they come for us.
Grant considered that, and he kept thinking about one thing, the dark shape that had crossed between the Land Cruisers even before the attack started. What animal had that been? He could think of only one possibility, the little Tyrannosaur. I don't think so, Tim. The road has high fences on both sides, Grant said. If one of the Tyrannosaurs is further down on the road, we'll be trapped.
Then should we wait here? Tim said.
Yes, Grant said. Let's just wait here until someone comes.
I'm hungry,
Lex said. I hope it won't be very long, Grant said.
I don't want to stay here, Lex said.
Then, from the bottom of the hill, they heard the sound of a man coughing.
Stay here, Grant said. He ran forward to look down the hill.
Stay here, Tim said, and he ran forward after him. Lex followed her brother.
Don't leave me! Don't leave me here, you guys!
Grant clapped his hand over her mouth. She struggled to protest. He shook his head and pointed over the hill for her to look. At the bottom of the hill, Grant saw Ed Regis standing rigid, unmoving. The forest around them had become deadly silent. The steady background drone of cicadas and frogs had ceased abruptly. There was only the faint rustle of leaves and the whine of the wind. Lex started to speak, but Grant pulled her against the trunk of the nearest tree, ducking down among the heavy, gnarled roots at the base. Tim came in right after them. Grant put his hands to his lips, signaling them to be quiet, and then he slowly looked around the tree. The road below was dark, and as the branches of the big trees moved in the wind, the moonlight filtering through made a dappled shifting pattern. Ed Regis was gone. It took Grant a moment to locate him. The publicist was pressed up against the trunk of a big tree, hugging it. Regis wasn't moving at all. The forest remained silent. Lex tugged impatiently at Grant's shirt. She wanted to know what was happening. Then from somewhere very near, they heard a soft snorting exhalation, hardly louder than the wind. Lex heard it too, because she stopped struggling. The sound floated toward them again, soft as a sigh. Grant thought it was almost like the breathing of a horse. Grant looked at Regis and saw the moving shadows cast by the moonlight on the trunk of the tree. And then Grant realized there was another shadow, superimposed on the others, but not moving. A strong